Father, thank you for the reminder. We need to be reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. The Bible teaches us that he has secured our salvation because he has removed the wall of barrier that separated us from you. And we praise you for his name. Praise you for Jesus and all that he has done. And Jesus, we are gathered together this morning in your name. And it is amazing that you love people like us. It's staggering that you died for undeserving people, ungodly people. And yet, we read in Scripture that Jesus died to set ungodly people free from the dominion of darkness in order to be transferred into the kingdom of light. And we praise you for it. And Lord, we ask that the reminder of this truth would shine into our hearts this morning and give us hope. I pray, Father, that you would pour hope into every one of us this morning because of who Jesus is, because of what you have done, because of the promise that Jesus was able to give us the Holy Spirit and pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. We thank you. Without the work of Christ, none of us would have hope. And yet, Lord, we live within a world that does not have hope. And we have an enemy who would seek to destroy our hope at every turn. So, God, I pray, pour out your Spirit of hope within every one of us this morning. We need you, Holy Spirit, to come. I can do nothing this morning. I need divine help. We don't need natural assistance. We need supernatural assistance. So, Father, I pray, please come in the presence of your Spirit. Bless us as we gather around your word here and about all that we'll share. Bless the children downstairs. Pour out your blessing upon us as we have come together here in this place. And there are hundreds of churches all around this country who are gathering this morning. Thank you that we get to participate a little bit in the worship of the Lord around the globe. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm just curious, how many of you ever had dreams either of, when you were a kid, did you dream you wanted to make a difference in the world? Little girls, you wanted to do something significant. Sons, fathers, when you were small enough, do you remember wanting to change the world? How many of you did that? You actively had a plan. You wanted to make a difference in the world. What happened to it? Maybe you still have it. Do you? You still want to make a difference? You know, it's amazing how many movies are about making a difference in the world, changing the world, or saving the world. How many of you little guys, you fastened on capes and you tackled all the bad guys you could see, right? You wanted to save the world. Do you ever have dreams about that? My wife, and as we were getting to know each other, we were sharing each other's stories, and she told me, you know, you realize in every dream you have, you're saving people all the time? I didn't realize it at the time. It was just the way it is. But for some reason, there is within us this desire to change things, to make things different. It pervades movies. You ever go to the theater and you realize how many movies there are about changing the world, about making a difference in the world? I mean, think of little Bilbo Baggins, right? And his adventure and a quest across all of the difficulties that he has to face in order to what? Eliminate Sauron and save the world from this mighty evil. I mean, even Gru in Despicable Me has to fight El Macho and get rid of the villain. Why? We live in a world that needs to be saved. There's a reason that those impulses within us, all of us, are good, because this world needs help. And I want to invite you to embrace that dream once again, to make a difference, to change the world, to change the world that you live in. And you see a map over here to my right. At the end of the service, I'm going to invite you to come put a little pin that represents your world where you spend most of your time. If it's at work, if that's where you spend most of your time, or if it's at home, then go to the map at the end. If you haven't already had an opportunity, some of you have already done this, don't do it again. But we want every one of you to have an opportunity to go and put a little pin in your town where you work. And that represents the world that I want to invite you to dream to make a difference in once again. If the frustrations and the pains of the world, the darkness has settled on your heart and has just sapped you of life, I want to invite you to once again be reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus. Because we stand at, today we're calling this the beginning of a new ministry year. It's the time of the year when we once again, life sort of changes gears. We go back to school. Things that are new begin to happen. The academic schedule kicks in again. It's companies release new products at this time of the year, right? Some of you are coveting the iPhone 5 and 5C. I know you are. There's a kind of newness that happens at this time of the year. And you might be frustrated by thinking you're caught in a trap. Nothing will change. You have made mistakes in the past that you can't overcome. And the amazing thing about newness is there's a chance to do things differently. You don't have to remain trapped in the same place because of what Jesus has done. He set us free. That's what we just sang. Jesus set us free. Love rescued me. He came down and he set me free. Free from what? Free from the dominion of darkness and free from slavery to sin. And he has set us free to have hope in a God who wants to deliver us into a place of making a difference in the world. And where can we most effectively make that difference except in the place that we spend most time? And I want you to dream again and say, can I do things differently? Can I, through the power of the Holy Spirit within me, begin to do things a bit differently? If you're, this is a new semester. How many of you have started school once again? Okay, raise them high. Let's look. How many of you have started again? You're studying again. How many of you have bad study habits that you sort of incorporated into your life and you want to change them? How many of you have, I just heard this morning a testimony of a son who told his father that he's been staying up very, very late every night and realizing I need to change my pattern, right? Need to change my rhythm of life. You know what? You can. You can change. How many of you would embrace an opportunity to say, I'm going back to work tomorrow, and by the grace of God, I want to be able to do something different. I want to be able to do something new. How many of you are willing to contemplate what that might mean and ask the Lord for a blessing? Because we're at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you, as you come and put a pin in where you work, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless you where you work, because you are Jesus to the world. If you are a believer, if you have Christ's Spirit within you, you are Christ to the people with whom you spend your time. When they have a question, if you have made it obvious that you're living according to your faith, and they know who you are, they know what you represent, and they know that you're a believer, don't you get questions of, what does the Bible say about this? Or, what do you think about this? Or, I have a problem. Do you get people who come to you and will say, I have a difficulty. What would you do in this situation? There's a great opportunity for us to represent Jesus to the world in which we live. And so we're going to conclude the service by offering a prayer of blessing that the Lord would rest upon you his Spirit in such a way that you would be able to magnify and glorify him this new season, consider it a new year, and if it's arbitrary to you, just embrace it as a kind of newness. The good thing is his mercies are new every morning. Every day there is a chance to do things differently than you did the day before. Every day is an opportunity to receive fresh grace into your life and a fresh blessing from the Lord if we would walk in it. That's the invitation today, and we'll end the service with a prayer. But there's a kind of newness that we are embracing around here, and there's a few things that I would like to share with you that are new this year in what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I'm going to hit them under the categories and the banners of our five core values, which are worship and prayer and teaching, community and outreach. Those are our five values, and there's some new things that are happening under each of those areas. So I just want to share them quickly with you. In case you haven't noticed, there's a new time. We have a new time for Sunday school and a new time for worship. And I know that if you are like me, you resist change, and so it's a bit difficult to rotate into a new rhythm of life, but I'd like to invite you to embrace it. And there are, I'm going to explain why we chose to do that. 9 o'clock for Sunday school, and I would encourage you to consider getting involved in one of the classes that we have available to you. I'll talk a little bit more about those, but we started at 9 so that we can finish by 10 and give us 30 minutes between the close of Sunday school and the beginning of a corporate worship service for two reasons. Number one, it gives us a chance to enjoy one another's fellowship, I pray. The Bible says many things about fellowship and about enjoying one another's company. There's many one another's in Scripture. And so just a few minutes, we want to give some space for you to have a cup of coffee and a donut. Maybe you need to pray with someone. Maybe there's someone that you might bump into and have a conversation with that you could be a blessing to. I want to provide a little space for that. And secondly, we want to also provide some space for you to begin to prepare your heart for coming into corporate worship. Why do I say you need to think about preparing for corporate worship? Because often it is the case that God chooses to speak to our hearts during the context of corporate gatherings. He just works that way. And so if you're not ready to even listen, you're going to miss it. For example, the other night, I picked up my kids from youth group, and Herb is in a series now where he's using iPads and iPods and all kinds of things in order to teach some biblical principles. And it's called, there's an app for that, something like that. And so I picked up a van load of kids, and as we got in the car, I asked them all, okay, before we're pulling out of the parking lot, does everyone have their electronic device? Did we leave anything behind? Nope, the answer is no, we have it all. We got home, and I said, David, can I have my iPad, please? Oh, it's under the couch at church. And I said, I asked you, does everybody have their electronic device? And he said, I didn't hear you. And so I had to get some witnesses who were also in the van said, he did say that. My point is, sometimes God's speaking and we're not listening. If we begin to tune our souls in to what the Lord might be saying, then maybe we'd hear him speak. It's not a problem that God doesn't speak. I think the problem is we just don't listen. So we're too busy or there's too many distractions. So I invite you, begin to use this space. Come into the sanctuary at 10:20 and sit down and pray and prepare your heart. We're going to start the prelude a little bit before 10:30, at 10:27 or so, to give a couple minutes to just have some space for prayer. But I invite you, embrace it, lean into it. Because we want you to grow spiritually. So I also invite you to please try to make every effort to be on time for Sunday school so that we can start on time and end on time and have a joyful embracing of one another. We only get to do this together once a week. And I pray that the Lord would smile on it and be a blessing to us. So that's new. New worship times, a new space for openness, a new invitation for you to prepare. Another thing that we hope to do this year that might be different is get involved in incorporating drama a bit more into our worship services. Jenny has willingly and graciously stepped forward and said she would be willing to spearhead a movement that would incorporate some drama. So she asked me to just share with you, if this is something that gets you excited, if you would love to do some little skits. And we're talking like 3 to 5 minute kind of little skits, not even, you know, just a few minutes. If that gives you energy and life, would you just tell Jenny that you, can I talk to you about it? Can you just raise your hand so everybody knows who you are? So that's a new opportunity for you to serve. And that's a new way that hopefully we can capture attention and the Lord will lean into that and bless you. Another way that in corporate worship is a blessing that hopefully we will be able to continue is just a sharing of testimonies. We want once a month to be able to lean into providing space for you to share testimonies. We're often here when people share what God is doing in their lives. It's a blessing to you. And so we want to make space for that this year. Also, there is another goal behind this, is we want to continually pray for you at work. And this might be a great way for you, as you have time to share, to say, here's what I do at work, and it's difficult, and I need your help. We can get to know you through that. We can also pray for you at work and find out what you're doing and lift each other up in prayer, because it keeps the priorities of our lives in the right place. We need the help of God to be the kind of people that he wants us to be. So we're going to lean into that. So you need to tell us if there are things that are happening. Contact Ian or myself and let us know. I'd love to share. We've already had a couple of people who have mentioned it to us, so we want to be able to give space. So it's an invitation. If you would like to be a part of that, please come. Now, we'll give you some training on how to do that. These are not going to be 10-minute testimonies. It's just 3 to 5 minutes or so. But you'll have to be real rigid and stick within some parameters. But we'd love for you to share what's going on in your heart. So we'd like to lean into that too. And just quickly, you'll also notice that we still don't have the ceiling tiles up. That's been a rather slow process, but hopefully you have been able to read the annual report. But we just this week had an architect and a general contractor and a project manager in taking a look at helping us get an estimate of what it's going to cost to find out what it's going to cost. So we need your prayers. That's still an ongoing process, and we're going to have to wisely discern how we do that. And we'll come back to you when we have some stronger and clearer information. And also, just to give you a heads up for where are we going with the sermon series, I think I sense an invitation from the Lord to once again take a look at what are the things that we value as a church. What are the heartbeats of church? Why we gather in the way that we do and express ourselves. And I'm going to hit those over the next few weeks and share what are our priorities. And it's worship and prayer and teaching, community and outreach. Why are those the things that we focus on a lot? So I'm going to share that. So secondly, in regards to prayer, there are a few things that new that are happening in prayer that I would like to extend an invitation to you. We want to lean more into being a people who seek the face of the Lord. And so from 8:15 to 8:45, we've had some members of the prayer team, I met with them last week, and there's about, about a dozen people we met in the conference room wanting to, again, establish and reconfirm our commitment to seek the Lord in prayer. And it was great. So they said, let's have some prayer time from 8:15 to 8:45 every Sunday morning. If you want to come, the prayer room will be open. Please come. We would love to have those of you whose hearts are passionate for seeking the Lord, asking him to work, lifting up people who need to have the Holy Spirit work in their lives before the service. If you want to join us, come and pray. That will be open every Sunday morning. And after the service, the prayer team will be available. And I want to encourage you, please come for prayer. There's lots of you who probably could, and we would love to pray for you. So we're going to have two people at the end of every service available to sit and pray. So come if you want us to be invited into your life to share burdens and struggles. We want to pray for you. They'll be held in confidence, but we want to invite you to utilize that ministry. And I also just ask you to consider there are ongoing prayer meetings throughout the week. Look in the bulletin. If you want to get involved in midweek prayer, there are times that those events happen. And then lastly, under prayer, I would like to invite your prayer. If you have read the annual report, you know we didn't quite finish the year where we wanted to. We were right on budget 11 out of the 12 months, and then August came, and we were a little surprised. August is always a month that makes us nervous. And we pray. It's a month where there's those of some people who get year-end bonuses at the fiscal year-end and those kind of things. So there's lumpy giving. So we have heavy giving often in August. And we didn't come out where we had hoped to be. And the annual report kind of gives you that detail if you're looking. But expenses were slightly higher than we had planned. and income was slightly lower than we had planned, and so we ended the year a little bit in a deficit that is not where we want to be. We would love to be debt-free, completely debt-free, and so we invite you to please pray. We as elders are going to be watching very carefully and deciding how we need to respond. But 1 month right now, at this point, looking at where we are, we've decided that we're not going to make massive changes just yet, but we will give due diligence and attention to that. But I invite you to please pray. Seek the Lord for us, that God would provide for all that we need. He has over the years, and David Chamberlain very kindly reminded us, God has always provided for us. Over the 20 years that this church has been in existence, He has always taken care of our needs. And so we have to let the need known, because you won't pray for it if you don't know it. So I'm inviting you to please come and pray with us. Thirdly, teaching. Some new things are happening in teaching. Just want to highlight the Sunday school classes. There are three. You've heard about them. Maybe you weren't able to come this morning. But we have one taught by Michael Bradford, which is an overview of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. It's a more expositional kind of in-depth walking through the text. And if you would have questions about that, Michael, can you just raise your hand? I'd like to invite you to come and join in. Ian is teaching a class on spiritual direction and spiritual formation and what that looks like. If you have questions, see Ian, and he can give you a heads up. Ian, would you just lift your hand? And I'm teaching a class called Systematic Theology for Non-Systematic Theologians. Essentially, what we're doing is taking a topical look at many things in Scripture, pulling verses all together to see what the Bible says about prayer, or what does the Bible say about the atonement, those kinds of things. So we're working through those. Small groups is beginning again, and please pick up a small group booklet. I don't know of any other way for you to sense the love that Christ would have you except being a part of small group. If you just come on Sundays, you're going to miss out on a lot of fellowship. But the connectedness in getting involved in one another's lives, it is where the Holy Spirit begins to fulfill our needs. So I deeply and strongly encourage you, look at this book and find a place you can get involved. When you're struggling, to whom do you go? Many of you don't have family in this area. And you look to the relationships fostered through small groups to be the kind of spiritual family. Please take advantage of getting plugged in. There's weekly meetings for Bible studies and so forth that also would be helpful. There's men's and women's Bible studies that happen midweek. Take those opportunities as well. Some way to stay connected. And then another aspect of what Ian has already mentioned related to community and how we stay related, we found a new tool that we would like to embrace. It's called The City. I want to show you a quick video to give you an overview of what that looks like, and then I will explain a bit more. This is a map. I'll give you a quick summary. It is a software-based web tool that allows us to interface with one another and create groups and connect with profiles, personal profiles that you set up. And so this essentially will take the place of our intranet. It will allow us to communicate to everyone in the church as leaders, and you as group leaders. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you can create a group for your class, and you can send, hey, read this text before you come this week. As the teaching elder, I can send you an email to everyone in the church and say, bulletin if you can't find Romans 15. It's the same verse. The reason we make changes is so that we can make a difference. The reason that we come together as a group of believers is to equip you to represent Christ in the world. And the question is, what kind of people make that difference? If we want to be a church, a group of people that really have an impact in our world, what kind of people do we need to be that will be the kinds of people to make change? Verse 13 in chapter 15 of Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I think this is the banner verse for this year. I think the people who make a difference in the world are the ones who are convinced that it can be different. Ones who have the hope to think, I know someone who can change your life. I know someone who can restore the doubting. I know someone who can alleviate the alienation that you sense. So may the God of hope, meaning God is a hope-filled God. He is a God of hope. He has the ability to make good on his promises. What is hope? Hope is a confident assurance that things will turn out good or better than they are. It's an affirmed kind of spirit. It's not a wishy-washy kind of preference that I hope things get better. Why do we as believers have the kind of hope that is assured? It's because Jesus has confirmed every promise in Scripture that is given to God's people. Jesus purchased the right for us to believe it. And so, as if we are a people who have hope, won't people notice something different about us? May the God of hope fill you with joy. If we are a people filled with joy, won't your coworkers notice? Do you think? Are you filled with joy? Maybe not today. But if there is a way for the Lord to give us joy, it says, the God of joy, may he fill you with hope. The Lord is not going to give something he does not have. God is a joyful God. He is full of joy. And so because he is, he then can give you joy. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Your faith, believing in what Jesus has done and that he is alive and present in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, will cause you to abound in hope. So this is what I believe the invitation for us is this ministry year. To pray that the Lord would fill us with hope, so that we would be a people who are filled with joy and with peace, and then live at work filled with that kind of joy and peace in such a way that we are able to make a difference. And I am going to strive with all of my heart in everything that I do in preaching and teaching to labor to have you filled with joy and with peace this coming ministry year. And so I don't have the ability to fill you with joy and peace, but the Lord does. God is a God of hope, and he can give hope, and he can give joy. So I want you right now, if you have not yet been able to put a pin where you spend most of your time, I'm going to ask a worship team, if you guys could just come on up and begin to play. If you have not yet put a pin where you work, or where you spend most of your time, would you just come up, grab a pin, pop it in the town, the location where you live or work and spend most of your time, because I want to just pray that the Lord would begin to make a difference. And I want to ask you, would you please accept an invitation to pray into this with me this year? Would you pray, God, give me joy, give me hope, fill me with peace. And if you would, if we could be agreed that that's something that we as a church will move towards, then maybe we will have the ability to hear testimonies of how God may answer that. So that is our invitation. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, Please be aware that members of the prayer team will be available at the end, at the close of the service, to pray with you, and we would be happy to sit with you. The rest of you who have already been able to put a pin in, would you just stand with me and let's sing while they put the pin in, and just for a minute or two, and then we will close in a word of prayer. Amen. While you continue to put your name, would you just pray with me and ask the Lord for this kind of joy? Ask the Lord for this kind of peace.